Stadler!
Der E-Bike-Spezialist für Berlin. Zweirad Stadler. Mit E-Bike-Preisen, die nur ein Großer machen kann. Stadler, das größte Zweirad-Center Deutschlands. Charlottenburg, Königin Elisabeth-Straße und S-Bahnhof Storkower Straße.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560. Presented by End Zone Sports Bar and State Farm Insurance Houston.
The damn spark. Oh!
There goes the runner. There goes Correa again!
Batted down and intercepted. Intercepted by J.J. Watt. Touchdown, Houston.
Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I said the king's in the building. Tell me how you feeling. Yeah, I said the king's in the building.
Sports Kings After Dark, the kings are back in the building. What's going on? My name is Chris DeMez. I'm here with Mean Gene, Smiling Sarah, Malto Mario, and David, a.k.a. Diamond Dave. That's right. We're here back at SB Nation Radio Studios, Hour 2. Hour 1 was pretty awesome. I liked the caller in that we had. He was awesome. Great. I also think he was wrong, but...
Why y'all doing like that, Chris?
No, he's awesome. He's great. I have much respect for you, sir. So what are we going on in the second hour? Talk to me, guys.
Oh, for the first hour, the first segment, talking about little Astros. Well, that's a little good.
League-leading Astros. Let's get this straight.
Oh, yeah.
Big win today.
Oh, yeah. Especially coming after that loss.
Oh, now everyone loves them because they won. But when they lost, everyone was all...
And, you know, we had... Whenever you were gone, Gene, we had an interesting conversation about bandwagon fans.
Get on Mario for sitting in your seat.
Oh, yeah, and that too.
Oh. Well, yeah, I know, because I saw his Facebook, see? That's how... You would make a good criminal. Leave evidence all over the place.
No, I've catched him. I've never been one, though.
Smooth criminal.
Yes, sir. So in the game today, Friars comes out strong. Angels only score one. Astros is kind of, not liking to score three runs today, but, I mean, they still hold it down for the win, though.
They play smart baseball. Smart baseball.
Wow. I mean, hey, okay, I understand what's going on with the Astros, but something happened. The Mariners snuck up to second place. When did that happen? When did the Mariners go past the A's?
That's a scary
good team. I'm sorry, the Angels.
That's a scary good team, the Mariners over there.
When? I mean, they had 500 now. I mean, still almost 13 games back. David, you guys, look at the American League. I mean, this is one of the most lopsided things I've ever seen in a long time. I mean, it's a race. Everywhere else in the AL East, it's a race. Boston and the Yankees, who knows? I mean, even the Orioles are still. Well, even the Rays are still in it.
Yanks.
It's only like two or three games that separate these guys.
Yankees all the way.
Go down to the AL Central. I mean, Cleveland still has a chance. Tigers, it ain't even. It's still close. But when you get to the AL West, it's just the Astros on an island by themselves.
But honestly, like that shouldn't really make people comfortable, though. And, I mean, for example, we saw Florida. I mean, yeah, at the time, the Florida Marlins do this in 2000. So I don't think they should really feel too comfortable. Even though, like you said, Seattle snuck out of nowhere. And I respect them, but also the Angels, too, because they come kind of slacking us a little bit. I mean, they let them catch them. But, I mean, you kind of look in the National League real quick. You see what the Rockies are doing. And that's the scary thing to see. The Rockies are playing well, but they're only three games ahead of the Dodgers. Well, so to me, in the National League right now, I think a lot of things are changing, and that's way less priority, of course, in the AL.
Well, but I mean, I'm looking at the National League, and right now the Nationals are in the same almost predicament that the Astros are in. I mean, it's just the Nationals, and then there's everybody else.
Yep.
I mean, it's just it's crazy. But I tell you one scary thing, folks. The one thing that I'm noticing about this Astros team is they don't like to play at home. They have the hottest record in baseball on the road. We don't want them to play at home. They're 23-8 on the road.
Road Warriors.
That makes me feel good, though, especially in those long, really long, when you're not, back home for, another week and a half, mm-hmm. Those long road trips. So, actually, that's good news to me. Even though we kind of, lose some here or there, especially on the road, it can be a little harder. But, man, having those win streaks, though, on the road, that's the big time. And that's the reason, to me, why we're up so high, is because we can get it done on the road.
Close it out on the road. That's what makes it scary, because if you get to the playoffs, you never know where that city's going to be. You might have to win that game, and you might have to win that game on the road. And the Astros proved this season they could go into anybody's yard and take that W.
They're proving it. So while we were out eating tacos today, they were taking care of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, which I cannot get used to calling them. What the hell? That's too many names there.
Yeah.
Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
That's like
that never really.
What? Got, you gotta say the whole thing?
Because we say Houston Astros.
Yeah, it just used to be the Angels.
Their name is the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Why? Why can't they just be called the Angels? Like they used to be.
They used to be the California Angels.
Oh, okay. So
remember that.
Okay, yeah, that's
right. How does this happen, though, whenever you get into conflicts of location of a team? Because to me, I think that's pretty interesting. Because why would it switch so much, and why would they go back and forth?
Oh, I know why it happened. Because the Angels were trying to form their own identity, unlike the Clippers, who still share a building with the Lakers.
Okay. Not too much.
But the Angels wanted to separate themselves from the Dodgers. I mean, because, you know, when you think about baseball in Los Angeles, it's Dodgers. Angels in the outfield. Hey, but no, that's what they tried. So that's why they threw that in there. You know, and so you've seen some teams have gone away from that. You saw. We just talked about the Marlins.
Yeah,
there.
Florida,
you know,
they should be the Florida Marlins,
right? And then the Phoenix Cardinals.
Oh yeah,
they went to the Arizona Cardinals.
That's right.
So you see this, but this is one of the longest freaking names
in baseball.
You know,
it makes it unenjoyable.
It does. But anyway, they went 3-1.
Check this out. Check this out, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Fryers, right? Strikes out eight in 7 1/3 innings. This is why we win games.
Wow.
Quality innings and starts from your starting pitcher. Starting pitching wins championships, period.
Yeah, that's going to really play into their favor.
I kind of feel that a lot of people, especially during the couple of losses that we had against, last week, I believe, people were really hard on our bullpen. But I feel that sometimes, we do show times where we're human. And we don't get the job done. But for the most part, whenever you're looking at the whole pitching staff, I mean, we there. Like, don't you think we have the firepower as of right now?
I mean, we have the most stacked lineup in the league. You know, we're talking about Jose Altuve. You're talking about Carlos Carrera. You're talking about Evan Gattis. You're talking about my man Brian McCann hitting a home run today to put us in the lead. I mean, this is a stacked team. You have to pick your poison. I mean, who are you going to pitch around to? You know what I mean? Who are you going to pitch around to?
Yeah, they hit the ball pretty well today. 10 hits, even though they only got 3 runs. One error, you don't see much of that. But if you were at the game, it was probably not an exciting game because 1 run in the second, no runs in the third, no runs in the fourth, 1 run in the fifth, no runs in the sixth, no runs in the seventh inning.
Sounds like a game in Astrodome.
It was probably not one of those, great games to be at because it wasn't a lot of excitement. But even amidst all of that, 10 hits is still good. So they are, they're putting the wood to the ball. Great stuff. So where are we at with the All-Star here? I mean, the All-Star is going to be here
right
in about 3 weeks, right? And I take that back. Maybe a month away.
Mm-hmm.
We're a month away from
July, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
July down there at the Miami Marlins Park.
And as of right now, we finally have a starter on the team, as for the votes, and that's, of course, Jose Altuve at second base.
Altuve!
Yeah, you guys excuse me for not really knowing who he was until I came here.
And you know what?
Last
a lot of
year
people didn't.
To watch a game, and it was a Altuve jersey day. Everybody wore 20. Was he 27?
27.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy's pretty good.
You know what? But looking at all the other bases, for example, for the All-Star game, to me it's really interesting to see all the Astros in top numbers. We have Yuli also in first base at fifth place. Who else? Of course Jose Altuve, but also McCann also as well, and Alex Bregman also at five and for third base. That to me that's pretty good, just because of how young he is and the fact that a lot of people are starting to notice his play. And honestly, whenever you're talking about this last week about their farm system, how they're able to just develop these guys, and these guys are coming out of nowhere and they're still young. All under what, 25, 26? And able to do this at a bigger scale. So to me, this is showing us the just how much that we're growing so far. And to me, it's only gonna get better from this.
I think so. Now, I would not do this to Mario because I know how excited he was that his Yankees won 16-3.
Ow!
So I'm going to give you the floor. I mean, an impressive game. Six runs there in the first inning, and they just kept putting it on. 16-3 is quite ugly. 18 hits, no errors.
No.
None. And they put away those Baltimore Orioles, a pretty good game. I can't name one player on the Yankees baseball team. Not one.
Only
I know you know all of them.
Only the home run.
Did you say?
The Gray Bambino.
I mean, no, I'm serious. I don't know. I mean, all
Derek
I know.
You retired, brother. You retired, brother.
Keep trying, Chris. I don't know anybody. I know the skipper, right. And that's it.
Well, you got Aaron Judge, who's only the home run leader this year in the league with 19 home runs at this point in time. The kid is amazing. This kid's amazing. I mean, he hits for power. He's a great fielder. I mean, he's a perfect Yankee.
Did they ever say anything of why he didn't maybe play football by chance?
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy you were talking about. Yeah. The big guy.
Yeah, he's like a tight end.
Yeah,
he's
bigger
he's bigger than most tight ends.
We did talk about him when they played against the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so. Oh, yeah. Okay, I think that's music for a break. Okay. All right, folks. So we will come back and get more into some exciting things that took place in college football.
Yes,
they've got some great football news there. So you're listening to Sports Kings After Dark with Sarah, Mario, David, Chris, and me and Gene. We'll be right back.
This is Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Today was a hot day. SB Nation 1560, we are here at the SB Nation headquarters in the beautiful Galleria area in Houston, Texas. My name is Chris Demez, your producer. I'm here with Mean Gene, Smiling Sarah, Lava Mario, and Dave.
That guy.
Dizzy Dave. DP Dave.
Double D.
Double D.
Y'all remember this jam here?
Yeah,
of
man.
Course.
Of course.
Of course.
It's Ice Cube. What are you talking
Mama
about?
Cooked the breakfast with what?
Noah.
You know, it's kind of funny that you're playing this because I was watching, there was a documentary. No, what's that movie? The Straight Outta Compton movie. Oh, yeah. I was watching this and this was like their little background music, so it's funny how.
Hey, man. I remember when this song came out, I was in Southern California.
I was in college.
And this was just like one of the most laid back jams ever. You know, everybody was driving them Chevys down in L.A.
You were in California?
Yes. Lived in California for 25 years.
So you were during the whole...
I was during the Ice
so when
Cube,
I grew up,
Easy E stuff.
Oh, my God.
I was
crazy.
Out there.
So how was that? Because I remember watching on TV.
Stuff, I was
they
there.
Used to talk about that stuff on TV, how like L.A. was just crazy central.
Oh, man. I miss Los Angeles. I miss those nice palm trees out there.
How about the weather?
The weather, yes. Well, I miss the San Diego weather. 75 degrees year round.
Oh, wow.
Can't beat that.
Yeah. 75 degrees year round.
Year round.
What about doing in Houston?
I know. Anyway, folks, Sports Kings After Dark. Hey, you know, if you miss any part of this show, you can always go check out the podcast, podcastarena.com, or you can go to sportskings.net. Or you can go to podbean.com, Sports Kings. You can always find this show.
And you can go to, I didn't know this, but I visited the website. We're on iTunes.
Oh, yeah. You can always find the show.
Never told me. You never told me on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
We're on iTunes.
We're on iTunes,
we're
yeah.
We're also on TuneIn app.
Oh, yeah, we're on TuneIn app.
You can always find us, even if you ain't looking for us. You might find us any damn way. Just hit the play button and listen to us, okay? Sports Kings After Dark. So, college football is coming up here. The most exciting part about talking sports and having a sports talk show, guys, is, you know, we're having fun now. This is what? June, May. We struggled through May. We made it to June. Next month is going to be training camps. Boy, that's when the excitement really hits us. But, man, football season is coming around. And this year we get to cover college and the NFL.
That's a beautiful thing.
What's happening in college?
Oh, man. So we can quickly turn our attention to Texas Southern University, where this past week it was the Michael Haywood Roundup Camp, which brought a whole bunch of, future student-athletes to the field, but also a whole bunch of coaches from all over the country, which is really exciting. We had, of course, Tom Herman from UT, Rich Rodriguez from Arizona, and also Ohio State's very own Urban Myers in the field.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes, sir.
He made his way down here?
Oh, yes. And that's the thing about these camps, Gene, that honestly, when you kind of think of this in retrospect, you kind of think to yourself a little bit, why is Texas Southern would, throw this big old football camp and invite all these coaches? Maybe there's still some players or something. And honestly, when you have 300 guys that are out there, you got to understand that Tom Herman and Urban Myers have done most of their recruiting for the year, or not all of it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it gives them a chance to not just to connect with other communities, but also to show other people that, hey, we're alive too up there in Ohio, or come up there to Austin. But as well, though, it brings a lot of attention to the campus as well, because mm-hmm. you got to think to yourself, not all 300 of these kids are going to Ohio State. Not all 300 of these kids are going to Arizona. So you kind of think of it that way, where still they're getting exposed to so many other schools, because these top schools weren't the only schools there. You also had Yale. You also had some JUCO colleges, as well. So, I mean, you have so much that was going on. You have all these people out there looking at these guys. So it was a beautiful opportunity for all these future student-athletes. A good opportunity for a lot of colleges just to get seen in different regions of the country. Because honestly, whenever you kind of think about football, you think about all these hotbeds that come out from everywhere.
Right.
I mean, Arizona, for example, they like to come down to Texas. Of course, everyone does. I mean, you can't really steal everybody from California.
Right, all those people.
But I mean, you're halfway there from Texas as well. So when you kind of look at it at that point, it's just an opportunity for everybody. But to me, I think it really helps the school just like Texas Southern, though, because it brings more attention to the program and also to the job that Michael Haywood is doing. TSU just this past recruiting year had, I believe, 21 kids, and I want to say at least 20 of them were from Texas.
Okay.
And when you can do that and just recruit
out of your backyard, out of these high schools, some good ones up in Dallas,
Sabelo Steel, North Shore, when you're recruiting guys out of these programs that know how to win, man, and that's a beautiful thing to me, especially happening at Texas Southern University. But real quick, just to see Tom Herman over there and still him being around the Houston area and still being engaged, because you got to think about it. Tom Herman left his mark on not just the city, but a lot of these kids around the city. So for him to come show face, I thought that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Him to still come out here, because honestly, even though he went to Austin, he's not living in Houston, and he's not living in Houston without some prospects. So, man, to me, I think it's a good thing for all these colleges, to somewhat show some parity, come together a little bit. But also, I mean, it's all competition at the end of the day, though, still.
That's true. When you driving around town and you see Urban Meyer. Rich Rod, somebody out.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen all these guys, but if you think about
Rich Rod is still an AD. Is he back in the coaching?
He coaches Arizona.
Oh, he did. That's right.
I mean, he kind of left Michigan, not in great terms or whatever.
Yes.
But I mean, especially at Arizona, where they like the offense where he runs,
that
so it works out for him.
Man, I know.
But there's a lot of programs coming up. But just Gene, seeing this, though, it gets me so excited for football, because it gives me the notion that it's just around the corner.
Well, I know we were just talking about U of H a couple of weeks ago, and it is right around the corner. I tell you what, and something else, and I'm going to switch here because if I don't talk about this, then one of my co-hosts, and she will be on this show covering the Raiders.
Oh, nice.
The Raiders.
She's out in Southern California. Nicole Key, a great friend of mine, and we've done lots of shows together. As a matter of fact, we hosted a Super Bowl party out there at the Silverton in Las Vegas, and I always remind people we had 1,000 people there, and we could not have put that event on without Nicole. But anyway, she's like in charge of like one of the biggest, what do you call it? What do you call those guys? It's when all the fans, you know, kind of get
club?
Together. Fan club. There you go. Okay, help me out here.
I got you, brother.
So, but she's in charge of Raider Nation Fan Club now, and I know, you know, Raiders may not be so popular here in Houston, especially after the playoffs.
One of my favorite teams.
But I know there are transplant fans all over in every city.
Yeah.
I know there's some Raider fans in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
I know that.
I'm not one of them, so.
Well, I know. But anyway, but you might be after I tell you what I'm getting ready to say here. So, anyway, she now I was supposed to be with her on this event here. They are going to have a Raider Nation Papas and Beer beach party in Rosarita Beach, Mexico.
What?
Now, yes. Now, I was supposed to go there. Now, I cannot go to this event because my nephew is getting married that weekend. It's the first weekend in August.
Oh, really?
And absolutely. Yep. So I'm going to be in Portland, Oregon. I can't make this event, guys.
Continue. Uh-huh.
But Raider Nation. Mm-hmm. And Raider Nation rolls pretty deep now. Mm-hmm. And they are going to be at Rosarita Beach. And I have been to Rosarita Beach. And they got, lobsters, big ones. They got good seafood down there. And she's going to be down there with, I don't know, maybe 5,000 to 10,000, maybe.
Are some Raider. Of these fans local fans?
So you might have some folks from here going there.
Because you know what, though?
Going to you
whenever,
to go to
whenever they had that whenever they had the Texans versus Raiders game in Mexico, it was a big hit.
Yes, honestly, it was a big hit.
And honestly,
it was a huge hit.
Whenever you saw the fan base, I saw a lot of Texans fans up there.
But you saw a lot of Raider fans.
Yeah.
You saw a lot of Raider fans, man. That's crazy.
There's more Raiders fans in Mexico than any.
You're actually starting to see.
Wow.
Big time.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
you didn't see that game?
There's also a school that's trying to be in the NCAA to play football as well for Mexico.
Mm. Wow.
So it's slowly but surely, it's becoming a new culture down there.
So, yeah. So, anyway, if you don't have anything to do, even if, you know, you want to go down to Rosarita Beach, Mexico, Saturday, August 5th, 12 o'clock to 7 o'clock. It's going to be one of those all-day things again.
Where
guys.
Is it?
Rosarita Beach, Mexico. Raiders Nation Beach Party. So, guys, I have to tell you something about Raider Nation because, I have a lot of stories, but this one is funny. So, we used to do a sports promo party at this club called sports bar called the Beer Hunter. Ooh. And the Beer Hunter was in
I like that.
Southern California. So this place was gigantic. I mean, this was one of the biggest sports bars to this day that I've ever seen. So packed with Raider fans, right? Packed with Raider fans. And we would go in there every Sunday and do our promos and do our stuff. And I remember when the Raiders got into the playoffs that year leading up to the Super Bowl, that was the team that we covered. That was the team that we had to follow. So in the NFL, if you want Super Bowl press passes, you have to pick a team. You can't just – you have to follow that team and stick with that team, and then you get your Super Bowl passes if that team you follow goes to the Super Bowl. So we had this plan to do this big old Super Bowl party at this Beer Hunter where we had been all year. So we do the AFC championship game, and the Raiders win.
Oh.
Raiders go to Super Bowl, and guess what? We had to cancel our Super Bowl party because my whole crew, we went to the Super Bowl.
In the 80s?
This was 2002 when they played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Sorry. 80s? My bad.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking John Madden.
Come on now.
You were there with John Madden? I was about to catch a heart attack. Okay.
No, this was the John Gruden team that he put together, but he had, remember, he left
Tampa. Yeah, he went to Tampa.
Yeah.
I remember.
So,
okay.
Yeah, but man, every week, though, this place was packed with, you know, hundreds of Raider fans.
So you're watching Jerry Rice and Tim Brown every weekend.
Yes.
With Rich Gannon.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's just some crazy stuff, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But, hey, don't forget, Saturday, August 5th at 12 noon down there in Rosarita Beach, Mexico, Raiders Nation Beach Party, Papas and Beer. You got to go. I wish I could go, Nicole, but I know you're going to represent down there. So, hey, and we're going to represent here. And, yes, hosted by Alfred Blue and Nicole Key. Yeah. So how about that? So, all right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and more sports talk here on 1560 AM.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by End Zone Sports Bar. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
Hello, everyone. This is Mick Jagger here at the SB Nation Radio 1560. I'm here with the Sports Kings After Dark. And hey, there, start me up over here. Mean Gene, Smiling, Sarah, Malto Mario, and we have Dave over here. Talk to me, boys.
Yeah, what?
I tried.
What
Yo,
version?
That was amazing.
What version of "Start Me Up" is that? Is that the karaoke version?
Instrumental.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm just checking. Okay. So, folks, Sports Kings After Dark here on SB Nation 1560, in here with the crew, and we are. You know what? These are some big boys here on this UFC here.
Oh, yeah. This is actually a local fighter.
Corn fed.
I mean, I still can't get this, guys. If you're going to box me. You can't be kicking me. I done told you that a million times. I would go out and get my gun and shoot you.
See?
If you don't. You have to box. If we come in the ring to box, then
that's
box.
Not a ring.
But
that's,
when I see your feet, look at this kicking stuff.
That's an octagon.
Like, man, why are you kicking him?
Because it's mixed martial arts.
It's an octagon.
That's the point. It's the octagon. That's
okay,
right.
It's the pentagon. You don't kick me. It's just crazy stuff. Don't it look awkward, Sarah?
It does.
Don't look fair, right?
I never understood this. I was just, you know.
I mean, but I'm not.
Thank you, Sarah.
It is
oh
popular
gosh,
now.
Look at that.
Kicked the man. Okay, anyway, let's get back to this.
Okay.
All right, so. Sarah, sports writer here for Texas Southern University. Tell us what you write about. What?
Okay, well, hi, everyone. My name is Sarah, Smiling Sarah. basically, what I do, I cover women's basketball games. I do interviews with former NFL players, some Hall of Famers, Ken Houston, Alvin Bethea, stuff like that.
Okay.
Former NFL players.
Those are some big names. I heard of them.
Yeah. Lloyd Mumford. I'm sorry.
Oh, but you're having fun during the Hall of Fame time, right?
I had so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So much fun. Really great guys. Learned a lot about concussions and CT.
Oh, yeah.
And
that,
everything else.
That's always a popular conversation on the Sports King
Tell
show.
The truth.
It's going to be
Tell
that way truth. Again. this year, as always, we haven't really broke down the. We talked about the Brady stuff, didn't we? The Tom Brady.
You know what? We've always mentioned it. It's always been segments, but I always think that we can always just.
Oh, it's
spark
been,
that
yeah,
up.
Well, yeah, especially when the season comes. So, yes. So you like this? So how do you get into this writing? What inspired you to be a writer?
Well, since the young age of 4, I would say I've loved sports. I feel like writing is my strength.
You
so.
Was writing at 4? Were you writing?
No, I was watching games.
Would you actually? Oh, okay.
4.
Okay.
Started writing in middle school.
Okay.
Covering little.
Nice.
Okay.
If I wasn't playing sports, I was talking about them. So pretty much.
Okay.
How cool. It all got started.
So, well, I'll tell you what. So Sarah's going to be doing some writing for Sports Kings, the Sports Kings After Dark show, guys. She's
going to
do some writing for us and help us out, get those stories out there to the public. Some things we there's so much happening in sports, sometimes we don't get a chance to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't mean we're going to neglect our listeners out there. They can read about it on our sportskings.net website, or they can go on to our Twitter at sportskings, or they can go to Sports Kings After Dark Facebook page, right?
That's right.
So you ready to do some writing?
Yes, I'm honored. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
I mean,
thank
Chris,
you.
Thank you
Chris,
all.
Chris finds
thank you, Chris.
The talent
what happened?
There. Chris knows.
He wasn't paying attention.
Shout out to Chris.
Oh,
shout
thank
out
you.
To Chris.
Oh, something good. Okay.
So, and I know we were talking about college football, but we have to kind of talk about this news. And I know this happens. A lot of stuff happens from week to week.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we get to eat up the weekend stuff. But this story, just when I heard about it, it just shocked me because I'm like, whoa. I mean, what's really going on at the University of Oklahoma as after 18 seasons as the coach of OU, Bob Stoops is retiring.
Come to Houston, Bob Hoops. Come to Houston, please. Please.
As in, wait a minute. When you say that, do you mean U of H or Texans?
talking about them Texans.
Oh. Wow.
We talking about them Texans.
Wow.
All right.
So somehow, and we talked about this, you know, during the break, because, I mean, this is critical. Mm-hmm. This having a coach out there like this is critical. And how many times have they tried to get Bob Stoops to the NFL? Now, he says he's retiring, and I don't know if it's clear that he's retiring from football is he retiring from OU.
You can't do it, man. You have to be on that level for so many years, there's no way you can just be like, okay, I'm done, and walk away from it, especially if an opportunity presents itself.
I definitely think an opportunity will present itself, but also we got to remember a lot of the stuff that's been going on at OU. For example, whenever he let back Joe Mixon on the team, and this wasn't the first time that he's done that for a player who has a troubled past. Regardless of, you know, that changed Joe Mixon's character or not, it was still something that was detrimental, and also a lot of people took notice to it and didn't like it. Also, you got to understand what's happening in the Big 12 right now. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Tom Herman goes to UT. But as well, we're kind of seeing the emergence of schools like West Virginia. Oklahoma State is starting to get back in the picture now. All three of those teams, maybe not Texas, but definitely West Virginia and Oklahoma State, going to be ranked top 25 this year preseason. Also Oklahoma. So you're leaving him, you're leaving Lincoln Riley, OC, with the keys to the car, which isn't a bad thing, because honestly, hiring guys in-house is honestly the most helpful. So you don't have to change too many faces. You don't have to change no schemes. You're having someone that already knows the playbook up in command, so which is a good thing for OU. But it kind of just ruins a little bit of the nostalgia for Stoops for me. Even though when I was growing up, I always rooted, you know, for Texas whenever they played Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry. So, but that kind of tears me up a little bit. Of course, when Mack Brown left, that kind of hurt me too, because you're starting to see some of the, I guess, older generations move on, and now Stoops is kind of that next level. So to me, it's like, where's the Big 12 going a little bit? Because, I mean, we saw the downfall of Baylor. TCU is kind of that school that's always kind of in limbo. They still got Kenny Hill over there, and I'm just not sure what's going on, you know, with that program. But it's not really looking like the Big 12 of yesteryear. Everyone runs, you know, the spread and doesn't, you know, run no more I formations. We don't see no running backs that are, you know, bearing
power
down.
Power on.
Except, you know, for Foreman, of course, at Texas last year. But we don't really see that too much now. So it's kind of be a whole different shift for the Big 12 now since Stoops is leaving.
Okay, guys, this is the funny thing here because, okay, so this announcement comes out this week, right?
Yeah.
And it's shocking everybody. However, back on May 20th, and that was 3 weeks ago, if you were to read the Storman and Norman .com, and it had an article written by Chip Rouse that says, is Bob Stoops planning his exit from Oklahoma? So, 3 weeks later, this, like they say in Washington, this was a leak. Out there.
It's alternative facts. It's alternative
that
facts.
Nobody really and nobody thought about it. So I guess everyone outside of Oklahoma must have known about this.
Oh no, definitely in house someone had to know.
And I mean, everybody inside. Oklahoma
definitely had to leak out, because honestly, whenever you recruit these guys, because they had another top class coming in, and whenever you're recruiting these guys and you're coming into their house telling these parents that I am going to take care for your child for the next 3 to 4 years. Why do you continue to do that? Like, he kind of left on a weird standpoint, right? Like, you left after spring ball. You left after, you know, the senior signing day. You left at a time where, I guess football's still kind of in limbo. But this is, I mean, you're going full speed into the next season right now. And to change your face so middle of the, you know, I guess I was saying.
Well, it's still, the timing, it's still early.
It's still early, but at the same time, like, you still brought all these people in and still continue to be with the program until the summer.
But there's
though.
More. There's more. So, according to the Chicago Tribune, him and his wife actually purchased a $2.25 million home in Chicago.
It's a beautiful house.
In Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
They bought a house in Chicago. Is that not like a hint?
And it makes you wonder about the Chicago Bears.
I was just
wow.
And their
Bears.
Chicago.
Their head coach.
this is getting more and more interesting now. I don't know, guys. I have seen his $5 million home in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
No, in Oklahoma.
Oh.
I mean, Bob Stoops. You know, I mean, Oklahoma is not like one of the richest states in America. So for Bob Stoops to like, make seven or however million millions what? That he made up there.
Is that a monster mansion?
Oh, yeah. But imagine $5 million in Oklahoma.
How many acres is that?
Yeah, I was about to ask the same thing. How many acres is that,
so,
man?
So he's downsizing, right? So he's going with so his salary was $5.6 million in Oklahoma City. Wow. Oklahoma. That's a lot. That's like living like a king plus times four in Oklahoma, right? But this house that he purchased alongside Lake Michigan, $2.25 million. So it's 5,000 square feet, four bedrooms, five and a half bathrooms.
Wow. A whole half.
And yeah, a media room on the fourth floor. Mm. And guess what else it has? An elevator.
He's so extra. He is extra.
An elevator
right there.
So that's straight MTV Cribs, man.
So I guess you know, according to this, and you can go read this, folks. I mean, it's the article is Storman and Norman, and I hope I said this guy's name right, Chip Rose, Rose. Anyway, interesting stuff. So apparently, he knew a little bit about this. So Stoops, and let's go back. Let's bring it back down here. Let's bring it back to how much wiggle room for error does Bill O'Brien has with the Houston Texans?
Zero. You know why? Because he's on that hot seat. Because first of all, Brock Osweiler. That's all I got to say. That's all I have to say.
Well, I think people understand that. Now, he's got three quarterbacks in camp. Okay. You got three quarterbacks. One of these guys is going to be quarterback. Tom Savage is probably going to start. And I think before we elevate Mr. Watson to second quarterback, we have to remember Brandon, who is doing what? Smoking the weedin'. Yep.
Smoking that dope.
He's smoking the weed. So, but regardless of who's quarterback, and I was talking to a guy at End Zone Sports Bar today. He was saying, well, you know, six or seven games, and I said, stop. No one's going to give anybody a chance to ruin six or seven games this year.
Oh, no.
Not in the AFC South.
And then that has a lot to do with, you know, what you're saying, putting him on a hot seat, is because I don't think Brock Osweiler wasn't really his fault because he's not the guy who brought him in. You know, so who was he the assistant coach for? I understand that, but at the same time, I don't think that we're going to see that six or seven games in. If this guy is not going to be our starting quarterback,
I think Bill O'Brien can't waste six or seven games with a healthy Andrew Luck that's coming back. According to the Colts, he is looking better and better.
I think there's going to be less parity in a division because for some reason we've been able to somehow pull off these wins. We've been so lucky to have a garbage Jaguars team,
garbage.
But that team won't be garbage for long with all the good draft picks they've been getting. That's what I'm trying to get to.
That whole defense is looking different. Whenever you had such good picks, this last pick. Oh man!
But I understand what Mario's saying though, because there's no room for error though.
No, there's no room.
You know that those draft picks are going to come around for Jacksonville at some point in time. And you already saw what, what's his name, Mr. Help me, Mariota?
What he did in the last
six or seven games are there, you know, last
Creeping
year.
And
Andrew Luck coming back. Man, this is like Houston, the Texans cannot afford to take a back
seat. Because when you look at it, you can say we have the easiest division, but also we have the biggest room for error, though. And that's the thing that kind of scares me, too, because, yeah, we can say that we have these easy games, but in reality, they're not easy, and we still have to win them.
So does Bill O'Brien look over his shoulders this year?
He's going to look over his shoulders and see Bob Stoops in the rear mirror. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Stoops out there.
He's going to be there.
If the Bears don't take him first. I haven't read anything or seen anything or heard anything.
You know, they like their coaches. John Fox is still the coach over there in Chicago, correct? Is he still I believe he's still the coach over there.
Hmm.
Don't quote me on it, though. Sorry, Chi-Town, if I'm wrong.
Okay. Oh, man. Anybody want to get their car washed this weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What you know about this? Sarah, you know anything about this?
I don't.
You don't? Okay. We'll tell you during the break.
Okay.
Folks,
Thank you, Sports Kings After Dark.
Mean Gene and the crew. And Chris and David and Super Mario.
And
Sarah Smile. We'll be right back, folks. Last segment coming up.
Message and data rates may apply.
You're listening to Sports Kings After Dark on SB Nation 1560.
And on SBNation1560.com.
Presented by State Farm Insurance Houston. Live from the SB Nation 1560 studios, here's Mario, David, Chris, and Mean Gene.
I couldn't find the original version, so I have this smooth jazz tribute.
Is this Kenny G? Right. Kenny G?
You're putting all of us
sounds
to
like
sleep,
Kenny G
man.
Over here.
Marvin Gaye.
What are you doing with Marvin Gaye's song?
Got to give it up. I couldn't find the original because man. Copyright laws. I mean, you can't sue me
all
for
right,
that.
Okay. We don't want anyone to get sued. And
copyright laws.
We don't want to have to pay those kind of bills. Those are $1 million.
Can't pay him telephone bills.
We don't want to end up like Robin Thicke, right? We don't want
Robin Thicke. Hey, buddy.
Yeah. He got sued over Marvin Gaye song.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and they won. The Gaye family won, if I'm not
you're
mistaken.
You're smart for playing this version because we saw what happened to the last.
I mean, they probably would have sued
us. The last person that played that song illegally.
But for them to not to go to the proper avenues to make sure that song was 100% sampled, like, it's kind of on him, though, right?
That is true.
Like, why would you even think that that'd be okay?
That song did sound like what this original song did sound like. But the one that didn't make sense was the Gap Band and Bruno Mars. I didn't see any similarities in those songs. And I don't know why.
I agree with you, Dave. Gene.
I mean, those were two different songs. I didn't see that.
Agreed.
This one, though, was definitely on point. So whatever happened to Paula Patton? They broke up. Robin Thicke, they broke up?
Didn't they go through like he cheated on her or something like that?
Yeah, he did.
With that
like
awful
that.
Beetlejuice suit, come on.
With the Beetlejuice?
No. Oh.
Oh, you talking about when he was in the wars with Miley Cyrus?
Yep.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Come on, back.
Man.
I mean, still, every time a song comes on,
I shake my fan Miley Cyrus and
everybody
Paula
going.
Patton.
If you want a song, I'm in Jamaica.
It's a good song.
Okay. Well, you guys, there was this one site out there like before the presidential election, and I was going to this site almost like every day trying to see what the Trump Clinton you know ratios were. 538 is the site. You guys are very
site.
538.com. So but I didn't look at the site prior to the Cavaliers and Warriors, but according to 538.com, and this was updated one day ago, the Warriors have a 98% chance of winning the NBA Finals.
Of course, and you can't be that surprised either, because especially what's been going on.
So, but you guys are talking about these seven games and this coming back here. I'm just
those are hopes and dreams.
I'm just letting you know,
Cavs in seven.
They only have a 2% chance, and this was just updated a day ago, which was right after the game. I'm sure.
Didn't that website also predict that Hillary Clinton was going to win?
Yeah, sure did.
So the numbers lie.
Yeah, you're right.
Illuminati.
Yeah, but if you look at 538 going into that, Hillary Clinton and Trump, and once the FBI dropped that bomb, then it was like a 65-35 type.
Okay, wait a minute.
So
here.
This is 98-2, Chris. I don't see.
Me and Mario. It's funny that you said that the FBI. Me and Mario were talking about what Comey had did. Man, did you guys? I know this is the last. I mean, we got a little bit of time. But that was hilarious. That was really hilarious.
I try not to. It's so hard. This whole coming home every day watching the news is almost like watching a reality show.
But did he say? No.
I don't know.
Hey, man.
Did he say?
Politics is politics.
Senator McCain was laying into him, man. I was like, damn. I'm glad I'm not on that panel.
Just crazy. But anyway, I was wanting to see what 538 was saying about the Texans.
Oh, boy.
For what? Like to win the Super Bowl?
Like the chances? You might win the lottery better than win the Super Bowl.
538 is saying the same thing we're all saying, guys, about it all hinges on the quarterback. No one knows where we're going to go.
You know why? Osweiler, that's why.
No, I mean, but Osweiler's gone, though. I mean, we have to think about
that's the reason why.
Who's the most experienced quarterback now on this team?
It's Tom Savage has probably had the most reps at this point in time.
Yes, he has.
Yeah, you got to give it to him, right?
It's his footwork, though. Like, the guy has a great arm. You know what I mean? He's a stereotypical quarterback, 6-something, stands tall in the pocket, has a great arm, but we don't have the O-line to give him the time he needs. He has slow feet.
And I think that's where the most importance is, too, is definitely the offensive line, because we still have discrepancies with other players that you see. And honestly, we don't even know who the starting line is either. So, you know, I don't know if Dwayne Brown got all his stuff figured out with his contract yet. Also, you know, Newton is also somewhere in limbo pretty much right now. So, I mean, that's two big positions that we need, especially on the line. But also, as well, whenever we speak Texans, I'm always going to talk about the secondaries because I just don't see it. We're going to brag about our front seven, which is fine. We can do that. But as well, I mean, all the times that, you know, all those lost, you know, 20-yard passes that we miss and those big bombs. And sometimes that can really break the defense a lot because it gets us out of rhythm. But whenever we talk Texans, I mean, we have to mention that, the O-line and then the secondary. Because, I mean, they're important positions. And, of course, like I said, we're going to be in love with this front seven this year. And you know what? They might be the best rushing defense again this year. But through the air is the only thing that scares me.
For me, it's just, man, it's like you said, it's that quarterback situation. Because let's say we give Deshaun Watson the shot. You know what I mean? Can you really expect him to do anything with that type of O-line?
But this is the thing about it, too, though. Like, he's run different, more stuff than Savage as well, too. Because, I mean, when you look at him whenever he was running, and let me say this, too. He's not going to run the same stuff he's been doing at Clemson.
Oh, no.
Not options. You know, different things like
defense
that.
Defense is going to eat him alive.
He's definitely more mobile, and he can make things more happen. So, to me, I just think he makes his chances way more whenever he can do more things. Like, for example, getting out of the pocket.
Do you think this is going to be the prototype now for quarterbacks? It's, you know, coming forth in the future of the league, Russell Wilson's, Colin Kaepernick's, Deshaun Watson's,
to me,
Cam Newton's. Are you noticing this? Before, these quarterbacks weren't even considered back in the day. Think about it. Mm-hmm. You would never have a scat back. You would never have a quarterback that was mobile. You think about Donovan McNabb. You think about Michael Vick. Mm-hmm. You know, and you look at all these teams now. Now they seem to be going after quarterbacks like this. Do you think the days of, like I just quoted, the stereotypical quarterback that's going to stand tall in the pocket, do you think, you know, this that they're going to start going away from that now? Start going to those two type of quarterbacks now? Because now with those type of quarterbacks, not only do you have to worry about the running back in the back, you have to worry about them quarterbacks.
Okay, I'm going to answer your question, and I'm going to say two words, Tom Brady. He's in the pocket. That still wins championship.
That still wins championship, but there's never going to be another Tom Brady in our decade.
Probably not.
There's never going to be a Tom Brady.
But if you want to be like Tom Brady, then you better learn how to be efficient from the pocket.
But that's the thing. When he played at Michigan, they played an NFL pro style. Not many colleges play that type of pro style. They have those two form quarterbacks that are either going to throw and run.
But I also don't see a lot of NFL teams starting to go that way. You might see them maybe shift, you know, a couple offenses. You might see them, you know, do a little play action and spread it out just a little bit, maybe 20% of the time. But you already know they're going to rely on that running back.
But you have to. Standing in the pocket, I mean, those quarterbacks, I mean, that's excitement on the field. I don't know if I always want to see my quarterback taking off with the ball. I mean, I look at Ben Roethlisberger. He might hold on to that ball forever and a day, but that's Big Ben, and it's hard to bring him down. Look at your final four quarterbacks. Look at Matty Ice, pocket. I mean, that still gets you where you need to be. That other stuff is not working.
True,
you saw what Cam Newton didn't do.
Look at those ages, though. You're talking Matt Ryan. We're talking Tom Brady. We're talking Beth Roethlisberger. This is the changing of the guard.
It's got to produce championships because Peyton Manning. Hey, all these last couple of Super Bowl champions.
The quarterback for Seattle, man. He took them in their second year. You know what I mean? He came on the scene and didn't know what to do.
Yeah, but that running back and that defense had a whole lot to do.
Oh, of course. But remember, having that quarterback in the back. Yeah, but having that quarterback in the back, you have to add that into the equation now.
I mean, and in Seattle is you know, it's just one of those one-offs that, I mean, that team just crafted, you know, differently.
Beautifully. That was just a crowd.
You know what? I think we do see the shift just a little bit. I want to say it was on ESPN maybe, but you know how Marshawn Lynch was with the Raiders. John Madden was around. They asked him a couple questions. John Madden's biggest thing was how people can't get third downs on, you know, third and one. Well, they can't make a first down on a third and one, third and two. They can't just run the ball up the gut anymore because mm-hmm. they don't have the skill to. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, the Raiders added Marshawn Lynch. Of course, that's going to happen where he makes these first downs, these third and ones, third and twos. But imagine how a lot of these guys are throwing on third down. We're starting to see the shift already, Gene.
Well, we saw, I tell you what, and I agree with you guys. I just like to bring up some other points. I mean, we saw the shift with the most unlikely person of all, and Aaron Rodgers. He ran his ass off in the last couple of games.
The last couple games, as he did, man. He used those legs.
So, yeah, it's starting to happen, but I didn't think I would ever see Aaron Rodgers leading the call.
Leading
for
his
that.
Team in rushing, I mean.
Yeah, amazing stuff. So, we got 1 minute left. So, Sarah? You get to see, because I think something tells me we're keeping you up past your bedtime, man. This is a midnight show, you know. This is why it's called After Dark.
Trying to hang with the king.
You're trying to hang with us. Well, you've done a good job today, guys.
Thank you.
Tomorrow night, guys, you sit in my chair tomorrow night, because I won't be sitting in this
chair. I don't know. I'll keep it going for you, brother.
Tomorrow night, we have Derek Stowers of Dynamo. He writes for SB Nation about Dynamo. He's coming in tomorrow. He'll be
talking a little soccer, huh? Mm-hmm. Perhaps I should call in and check on.
Definitely. You want to talk about soccer? Like I said, coming up this month for all your soccer fans out there for EPL, Manchester United against Manchester City right here in NRG.
Oh yeah, good stuff.
That's going to be a great game. I can't wait.
Really like that stadium. Really.
The only thing I know about Manchester United is on that movie Euro Trip. Those crazy fans.
Yes.
Well, speaking of Manchester, how about Ariana Grande going back over there and putting it down? Man, that was pretty impressive stuff. So, but anyway, so another episode of this show. We want to thank everyone, including our special guest, Raymond Townsend, for coming on and joining us. We want to thank those folks again out there at the Taco Tequila Party.
Just want to give one shout out to one of my best homeboys, Andrew Murrell. If you're listening, thank you, brother.
Oh, also, I saw Ralph Cooper today. My sensei, you can say, on ABC 13 doing the Bayou City Classic. So, shout out to Ralph Cooper.
All right, and shout out to you, all our listeners out there. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back here tomorrow night on Sports Kings After Dark here on SB Nation.